Focus, focus, focus. All right, so to start off today, hey Tyler, how are you doing? Oh, we're splitting up, 9th, 10th grade guys over there, perfect, perfect. We can rearrange, we're gonna do great. All right, so today in your groups, what I want the first thing for you to do is first of all, make sure everyone knows each other, danger. Make sure everybody knows each other and has a safe seat. And then what I want you to talk about is, what is the best thing about being close to somebody? Best thing about being close to somebody. All right, so make sure everybody knows each other. Best thing about being close to somebody. Go. Got it. All right, you guys have 1 more minute. 1 more minute. All right, let's go ahead and bring it back, whole group. Now, we're talking about being close to somebody, and when I think back to elementary school, there were two friends that I had that we were BFFs. I mean, we were like the BFFs that ever BFFed that BFFed. Like, we were so close, right? And it was Megan and Laura, and we didn't go to the same school, but we went to the same church, and every Friday night after dance class, because we were in dance together, we would spend the night at somebody's house. Like, there would be that secret arrangement where, like, you guys decide, and then you, like, manipulate your parents, where you go to your parents, and you're like, hey, so Laura's parents said it was okay if I spent the night, if you said it was okay that we spent the night to spend the night. And then, like, it turns out that it's all right to spend the night or whatever. So, like, we did this all the time. And we had figured out one of us, Megan had a little baby sister that was born, like, I don't know, she was, like, 13 years older then or something. And we figured out how old we would be when the baby sister turned 13. And we like wrote notes to the baby sister that we would give her as like our like sage advice as 13-year-olds. Like, this is what you need to know when you're 13, right? And we planned out the speeches we would give at each other's weddings. Because we were like, of course we're going to be like each other's bridesmaids. Like, that's totally going to happen. And then we made a time capsule for when we were 25, because that's so old. And like, what we were going to find when we were 25, the things that we were going to need to remember when we were 25 years old. We thought we would be friends forever. Now, there was no drama, there was no falling out, nothing big happened. But seriously, by the time we graduated high school, we just weren't close anymore. Like, we just weren't. They didn't move away. We still, like, were kind of running in the same circles, but we just weren't close anymore. Now, I'm imagining that I'm not the only one with that sort of story. Like, you can kind of name a person that you were once close with. You thought you'd be close forever, but then you weren't. It just happens. Now, I want to turn and reflect on our relationship with God, because chances are there was a time when you were close with God. You could say, like, yeah, I was really close with him here, and nothing happened. There was no drama. There was nothing like that happened. It just sort of ended after a while. You just aren't as close now as you used to be then. You don't know what happened. It just kind of moved away from each other. Now, all of us, I think, we want close relationships with people. We do for all sorts of different reasons. We have that like innately made inside of us to be close with another person, for them to know what we're talking about, for us to give them the look, and they know exactly what that look means. It means I need a Slurpee, but not the red kind, and I want a Coke unless they don't have a Coke, which means I want the blue kind, right? You know what I'm talking about? We want them to be able to read. Emma's like, no, don't know that one. Okay, but we do. We want to be close with other people. And some of us would even say that we want to be close with God. But sometimes I think when we say that we want to be close with God, we really like the idea of being close with God more than we actually like the reality of being close with God. I think that sometimes we get it in our mind that, like, it would actually be really scary to be close to God. We're afraid of being close to him because we're worried that the second we're close to him, he'll be like, okay, now I got you trapped. These are all the things I want you to change. You've been doing this wrong for 13, 14, 18 years, and now you got to do it differently. We're worried that he's going to tell us how bad we are, like an angry parent, and be like, and give up your cell phone for the next 18 years, right? We're worried that he's going to do this. We're afraid of God, that he is going to be angry at us and tell us how bad we are. Or other people aren't worried that he's going to be angry. We're just worried that if we get close to God, we're going to be miserable, that he's going to make us give up all of the fun, and we're going to be miserable. And so what we wind up doing is we keep this safe distance from God. Like, yeah, I'll come to church, but I don't really want to be close with you. I don't really want to do that. Which is odd, because when we come to church, we hear these stories about how loving he is. Like, how he's this loving God that has these great, wonderful plans for us. And yet I think in the back of our head, subconsciously, we think, yeah, that's great, but I don't think that's the whole story. Like, he reels us in with this, like, I love you thing, but then he traps us with this, you're bad and you have to give up this stuff and be miserable thing, right? I think that that's actually what's happening in our heads. And so the idea of being close to God, we think, that's difficult and complicated, and I am kind of disinterested in that. So in your small groups, I want you guys to go ahead and answer questions 2 and 3. Go. ahead and bring it whole group again. Now, in the Bible, there's a guy who had kind of the same issue. And he's kind of a big deal. He's kind of an important guy. His name was Abraham. How many of you guys have heard of Abraham? We got a couple people. Great. Okay, so there's this guy, Abraham, and before his name was Abraham, he was actually just called Abram, all right? So it was like the short form of, hey, Abram. It's like cool people called him Abram. Anyways, that's not really true. Okay, Everyone just laugh real quick for me. Okay, thanks. Redeeming my confidence. All right, so his name was Abram, and the strange thing was is Abram just gets introduced in chapter 12 of Genesis, and all of a sudden it says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land where I show you. Right? Like God makes this commandment to him all of a sudden out of nowhere. And think about this. He didn't have like Google Maps or like any software on his smartphone to say, oh, well, is there a Starbucks there? Okay, I'll go there. You know, no, he knows nothing. God just says, leave your family, everything you know, everything that's safe, and I just want you to go into this faraway land that I'm just going to show you that you know nothing about, right? Now, a lot of times we think, well, yeah, that's what God does. He like throws out this challenge and he sees if we does it. Now, but the thing is that that's actually not what God does. He doesn't just say, hey, go do this really hard thing and then wait and see if Abraham does it or not. Instead, he says, hey, go do this hard thing. But then God keeps talking. It's crazy. He keeps talking. And this is what he says. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation and I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, man, they're going to be cursed. And all of the people on earth, all of them, everyone will be blessed through you. See, the point wasn't that God was like, hey, I want you to follow me, and your life is going to be miserable. The point was, is God, before Abraham even like steps forward and does anything, he wants to make sure that Abram knows, hey, I have a plan for you. I'm calling you to this thing because I have such great things. I know more about you and what you're capable of than you ever could. And I want you to know these are all the good things that I have planned for you. I have amazing stuff. You're going to bless everybody. Everyone is going to bless you. And if anybody gets in your way and says, I don't like that person, well, I'm going to say, I don't like them. I have great things for you. He has a plan. And through the course of the story, like God gives Abram these glimpses of his life, like more and more and more, he shows him how big his life, how much influence he's going to have. And he shows him all of these different things before he ever asks Abraham to do anything. He says, hey, I want to show you what I'm going to do. And see, that's the point. The point isn't that he wanted to make his life miserable, and the point wasn't that he wanted Abraham to do all the stuff, right? Sometimes we think that God just wants us to do things. And the point wasn't that he wanted Abram to do all the stuff. The point was that he wanted to draw Abram closer and closer and closer to himself. So that when he was ready to say, Abram, I got something crazy, a little crazy for you to do, Abram could look back and say, well, you know what? God's trustworthy. I know that he loves me more than anything that I could accomplish. I know that he's got my back, and I know that he's got great plans for me. So yeah, I'll go ahead and I'm going to do that crazy thing. But it never starts with the doing. It starts with the trusting, with the believing, which is totally contrary to how we sometimes think about this stuff. Now think about this. The Bible's broken up into two sections. Can anybody tell me the two sections they're called? Oh my gosh, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Boom. Okay, great. The Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is like before Jesus came. And the New Testament is Jesus came, and then here's what happened after this. But the crazy thing is that sometimes we think about the Old Testament and we think that it's about like, we don't like the Old Testament because it's like where God was like moody and angry and he's kind of mean, and so we don't really like him there. And then the New Testament, he's all warm and fuzzy, right? We think that, but that's actually not true. See, the story of Abram shows us that God was way more interested in relationships and us being drawn close to him, even in the Old Testament. Even back then, he cared about relationships. I want to be with you. I want us to be close to each other. I want us to be close, but
In the New Testament, when Jesus comes, Jesus makes God accessible to all people. So it wasn't just God saying, Abram, I choose to be close with this one person. Jesus opens it up and says, no, I want to be close with everyone. I want to be close with all people. And it's because of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection that that is actually able to happen. God moves closer to us, and we're able to move closer to him in the midst of this thing. So whenever we're tempted to believe that God's this angry God that just wants to prove that we're wrong and tell us that we're bad, we have Jesus to remember, no. He goes through everything. He burns through every obstacle in order to be closer to us. He sends his own son to die for us. And because of Jesus, we can all be close to God. It means that you can be close to God like Abram was close to God. It means that you can be close to God like Alan is close to God. It means that you can be close to God like your small group leader is close to God. You can be close to God like I am close to God. You can do that. There's no more barrier. There's nothing getting in the way. God wants to be close to you, and he's removed every obstacle to do it. All right, in your small groups, go ahead and answer question 4 or talk about question 4 and 5. Go.
Let's bring it back, whole group. Let's bring it back, whole group. Now, the idea of Jesus coming and now opening up this door that we can all be close to God, like he moved towards us, he drew us in, that's this good news. The question isn't whether or not it's good news. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that God really wants to be close to you? Do you believe that he actually wants to be close to you? Or is it just kind of like something that you've heard before that like floats around? Or do you really believe it? Right? In Genesis 15, a couple chapters later, Abraham's story continues, and it's this crazy story, right? Abraham is this old dude. I mean, really, really old dude. And he's married to this old chick who is really, really old. And they have never had any kids before. And, you know, we all know, like, we took, like, the health class and, like, all that kind of stuff. We know that, like, as people get older, like, they can't have kids anymore, right? We're all on the same page with that. Everybody knows that. Okay, great. So they've never had kids, and they're never going to have kids because now they're really old. And God says to Abraham, he says, hey, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a son, and then that son is going to become this great nation. I mean, he's going to have sons. I mean, you're going to be huge, and it's going to all happen through the son. Now, this is the crazy thing. The thing that makes Abraham so great isn't anything that Abraham did. It's that no matter what promise God told Abraham, Abraham believed it. In Genesis 15, verse 6, it says this, but Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So no matter how crazy the thing was that God said, Abraham believed it. Now, I know that it sounds crazy that God loves you, but are you willing to believe it? And I know that it sounds crazy that God would move hell and high water to be with you, to be close to you. But do you believe it? I know that it sounds crazy that he'd do anything. He just wants to sit with you. But do you believe that? The thing is that if we believe that, our whole world changes. Abraham didn't just believe in God. He actually believed God. And he believed God before he ever even made a first step to do anything, right? So here's my challenge for you guys. How would actually believing that God wants to be close to you change your life? How would it change your desire to be close to him? How would it change the way you view all of the circumstances that are happening to you? How would we see the whole world differently if we actually really believed that God wanted to be close to you? I know for one thing, it would give you tremendous confidence. It would give you this confidence of like, hey, I got the whole God of the universe who wants to be with me. So you're making fun of me. You're rejecting me. You know who wants me? God. And I don't mean that as this trite cliche thing. I mean that as this serious, real thing. God wants to be with you. And when we start believing that, that belief is enough. And that belief will push us to be closer and closer to God. And as we draw closer to God, we'll start to see that our lives change. It's not that we step out and we wake up and say, I'm going to make a decision to be nicer to my brother today, and you try it. No, we start with the belief that God wants to be close to him, to us. And we then move close to God. He changes our lives. All of a sudden, we start noticing that we want different things. We want to be generous. We want to include our brother or sister in whatever game we're playing. We want to be respectful to our parents. We want to be known for, be respected by our teachers. We start making different choices. We start being freed to love other people because we believe that God wants to be with us. So in your groups, I want you to go ahead and talk about question 6 and question 7. Go. again. All right, guys. Here's the thing. This week, what I want to challenge you to do is I want you to challenge you to believe that God really wants to be close to you and watch and see how that changes things. If you have to write that on your bathroom mirror, God wants to be close to you, to me, do it. But I want to challenge you to really, really figure out a way to believe that and see how that changes things. And when you feel like you need to start pulling away from God, or you are pulling away from God, when you feel guilty that you haven't done something or you did something, instead of giving into that guilt, instead of pulling away, what I want you to do instead is I want you to choose to remember that God wants to be close to you. God wants to be close to you. What I have for you, I drop them off at each of your different little stations, is I have a little devotional for you to do this week. I don't know if you guys have a devotional book, you know how to do a devotion, you've ever done a devotion, but here's just one to do this week. All right? Now, here's the thing. Like I said before, it is still true. What we do doesn't really matter all that much. It's what we believe. And so you can take this devotional and you can just do it, to do it, but that doesn't really do anything. It's kind of like this. A couple months ago, there was a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in like months, actually a year and a half, and I called her up and I said, hey, let's do dinner, thinking this is going to be an opportunity for us to be close to one another. And we get to the restaurant that we're supposed to go to, and because what you do when you're trying to get close to them is you eat, right? So we like set up a meet, let's meet at this place, we'll eat some food, right? And it was the strangest thing, because what we did at this date together was we ate food. We didn't actually get close to each other at all. We didn't share about each other's lives. We didn't ask any questions. It was super awkward. We really were just eating food. So when you do this devotion, you could just do the devotion. Just eat the food. Get it done. Or this could be a tool for you to get close to God. I just want to highlight the fact that it's not about doing it. It's about using this as an opportunity to get close to God, because that's what God cares about more than anything else. What I want to close up doing is, if there is somebody in this room that you feel particularly like, gosh, this hit home for me. This is where I'm at. I am at a place where I want to be close to God, but I feel so distant from God. I have no idea how to get close to him. I'm kind of scared of it. If you are in that position, what I want you to do is I want you to just make eye contact with one of your small group leaders. Okay? And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you. So in the middle of your small group, if you want to shuffle your bottom to the middle and have your small group kind of gather around you, we want to pray for you. And if there's a group that has nobody that said anything, that's totally fine. You're going to pray. We're going to pray together. All right? So let's go ahead and do that. If you need to shuffle around, do a little shuffle. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus, that this sort of amazing close relationship that you had with Abraham, where all you cared about was getting closer to him, that through Jesus, we all have that with you. But Father, you kind of can be a little scary sometimes, because we're not totally sure what to believe. So God, I just ask that you would help us with our unbelief. Father, that you would help us know and believe and trust that you really just want to know us more than fixing us or changing us or making us give up. You just want to be with us. So, Father, would you help us believe that? In your holy and precious name, amen. All right, guys, we will see you next week. Yes. Peace out.